does auditions.
So this evening, all of you have come to hear this teaching. I enjoy this very much. I like very much that you have come this evening. This evening's teaching has taken place because Kensa Geshe Wanda Genla, my teacher, has requested or said that since I have come and I'm here, that it might be nice to give some sort of an explanation of a Buddhist topic. And Genla, my teacher, Kensa Geshe Wandak, suggested that the topic of bodhicitta might be a very good topic to explain. So this is why I'm here this evening giving the explanation of the mind that aspires to enlightenment. So, and I have came here in the first place to do a consecration of the Buddha Shakyamuni statue that we have. So the Buddha statue that we're consecrating came from India, and when Ted and Rinpoche and others came to India, they bought this wonderful Buddha Shakyamuni statue. It's very large, and all of the Goalkhamsan monks rolled the prayers and so forth, and sent over all of the articles that need to go inside of it to consecrate it. And because of the size of the statue, it would be very difficult for Kensa Geshe Wandak to do this alone. So he has called me to help with the consecration of this. So probably by tomorrow, I would say, all of the work will be completely finished. And thank you very much, all of you who have helped, such as Stasha and Jeff and others who have put forth effort in order to make the consecration possible.
There's
been a large amount of positive virtue that's been accumulated through this process of the consecration of the statue, and I believe we've discussed it, and on August 30th we will be bringing the statue over to the center. So this would be the date that the statue then the Shiluva Ketang.
Yes.
So it's on a Sunday, August 30th, because at 10 o'clock we normally have teaching, so it would be very good to bring it over during that time. So I was asking Geshe La if that was when we were going to do the multi-religious ceremony, because we're going to be inviting all the religious traditions to come do prayers and so forth for the consecration. Possibly later, Rinpoche suggested it, but that 30th will just be when we bring it over to the center. That ceremony will occur later on.
After this one, that Rinpoche, Mother Rinpoche, the Machin Dewa Kandish Hadar is not.
So how did this connection take place? How are we all connected? We are connected between us because Jeff and myself have Geshe Lobsang Gompo as a teacher. And Geshe Lobsang Gompo, and also translators note others in this room, Geshe Lobsang Gompo was here. And the Geshe Lobsang Gompo was a student of Kensur Geshe Wanda. So we are all so fortunate to have these kind masters. Geshe Lobsang Gompo has since passed on, but we all have to recognize how kind they are and how and be grateful for these masters. And we as students need to be grateful for the fact that we have Kensur Geshe Wandak here, staying here. Kensur Geshe Wanda is a very great scholar, as well as being someone who holds a vast amount or a great amount of merit. He was the teacher, gave philosophical teachings at Namgyal Monastery in India for 18 years, and then he came to the United States and all over the United States as students. So it's a very, very positive virtue that we have him here, and it's very kind that he abides with us. We should be very grateful for his kindness. So we need to be grateful for the kindness of Kensur Geshe Wanda, and what we should do to repay this is to study and to practice, because this is the pathway which will lead to positive results in this life and in future lives. So our teacher, Kensur Geshe Wanda, is kind to us in this life as well as in future lives.
So
the first is that it erases extremely the extreme karma or great karma, then they nipa.
They watch you do nipa, Thomas. They watch you do nipa. They watch you do nipa, say, Ade. But it's not. Jide and Hada may do what I'm saying. Sanji Kupunta. The two news on the Dawaji Ewa. The two new.
The Dewa. The Dewa. The what? Chudru established nipa. Able to establish you in happiness. Since. Able to establish happiness. So that means able to establish one in the ultimate happiness, and this is referring to Buddhahood. So able to establish one in the ultimate happiness. So if one wishes, this is a wish that can be fulfilled. So it is a wish that can be fulfilled. Because one can become a
Buddhahood.
So since beginningless time, we have engaged in negativities and we have completed misdeeds. A small amount of virtue will not erase or purify the misdeeds that we have engaged in. We need a very great virtue, or we need a vast virtue that, in order to get rid of these misdeeds that we have, because they have occurred since beginningless time.
So
the ma, ma jana. So in order to win a war, one must have a very powerful army. Likewise, in order to get rid of all of one's misdeeds, one must have a very powerful virtue. And a very powerful virtue, one must have a very powerful virtue, and bodhicitta is one of those virtues. So we have engaged in negative misdeeds that will give rise to rebirth in the hell realm, in the hungry ghost realm, in the animal realms. But the mind that aspires to enlightenment has the ability to purify all of those karmas that can give rise to those experiences.
So in
order for one to achieve the state of complete Buddhahood, it's necessary for all beings to generate the mind that aspires to enlightenment, because this becomes necessary in order for the accomplishment of the goal of Buddhahood. So this cyclic existence is plagued with suffering. We are humans and we have this, the animals have this that we can see. So the only thing that can, the one thing that can free us from this suffering that we are plagued with is the mind that aspires to enlightenment, because it has the ability to eradicate these misdeeds that we've engaged in. So if someone is, for instance, a bad person or a negative person, if they have the arisal of a mind that aspires to enlightenment, it will completely convert that person into a positive person. So there will be a complete conversion that takes place from the arisal of this mind. So if one generates this mind that aspires to enlightenment, then he or she becomes worthy of being called the child of the Buddhas, or child of the conquerors. So if one generates the mind that aspires to enlightenment, then he or she becomes worthy of homage by all gods and humans. So if one has the mind, the generation of the mind that aspires to enlightenment, then they become objects of homage to all beings. All beings, they become objects of homage for all beings. Okay, so if this mind arises, then a bad person would turn into a good person, change to a good person. The mind that aspires to enlightenment is like a gold-making elixir. If one had a gold-making elixir, one could turn any substance, any substances such as iron, into gold. So the mind that aspires to enlightenment turns all activities into virtuous activities in the same way that a gold-making elixir turns all objects that one is trying to change into gold. Okay, so one will be respected or honored. This is a different word than the homage. just translator's note. One, it's worthy of, one is an object of homage or prostration, and the next is worthy of respect. It's similar, Geshe La said, to fame, but it's why someone is famous. It's the respect that one would have for. That one would be an object of respect for all others. So if one has the mind that aspires to enlightenment, very good results will occur. Jebo yabo yongre.
Jebo mambo chigre.
Many, many. Yanju suna.
Shanju sen yena.
If one has the mind that aspires to enlightenment.
Ani shanju sen yena. Ani jebo mambo chigre. Jebo.
Jebo juje.
Jodan jebo.
Okay, so I translated it. If one has the mind that aspires to enlightenment, many results will occur.
Then.
So the mind that aspires to enlightenment is a mind that again and again allows, again and again produces fruit. It can be compared to a tree, like an apple tree, that again and again produces fruit. But if one takes a tree and cuts it, and then turns it into lumber, then it no longer has the ability to produce those fruits again and again. So the mind that aspires to enlightenment is compared to a tree that produces fruit again and again, and not like wood that's or lumber.
So just
like a fire has the ability to burn everything within its course, likewise, the mind that aspires to enlightenment has the ability to purify or, all misdeeds. Okay, so there are two different types of... It's only the second time I've translated for Geshe La, so I apologize for any difficulties here. They're only from my side. There are two different types of mind generation. There is aspirational bodhicitta and engaged bodhicitta.
Changju sen
So, okay. So if we can generate a mind that is similar to the mind that aspires to enlightenment, it will be very beneficial for us. But if we can generate the actual mind that aspires to enlightenment, then this would be the best. But now we should try to generate a mind that's similar to the mind that aspires to enlightenment. Thinking about the mind that aspires to enlightenment, whether we're going somewhere, or we're sleeping, or we're staying, or we're driving in a car, is beneficial. It's a great benefit. This is a virtue that is inexhaustible. Because other virtues could be extinguished just by a moment's anger. Zalin Shite. Oh, the people who died. The Zalin Shiwa. So now we see that many people have died. The Maja, Memamu Shisun. So the mind that aspires to enlightenment will help. Let me back up. We'll see that we have many people die, we have wars going on, people who are ill, many different difficulties that occur. And the mind that aspires to enlightenment, when generated, would be beneficial for all of those beings. So this is why it is such an important mind, because it is a mind that will help to relieve those beings, to eventually relieve all of those beings. If folks would like, we could have time for question and answer session. Does anyone have any questions?
Back to the third division of the first one about the wish.
I don't have the text. Geshe-la said there's so many different examples in here. Also, the name. I know there were three, and then the first one had three divisions. And then,
yes.
So the third one?
Yeah.
The third one was the the actual and then the renown. And it's meaningful. Meaningful. Ribbit. The third one of the first three. You want the third one of the first...
of the division of the first one.
Oh, okay. Bene? This Sumba.
Yes.
이게 장주 스님분들은 라벤 도구예요.
랑둔, 샌둔, 랑이둔, 샌둔.
랑둔, 샌둔.
I wish I had my dictionary with me. Chita, dupe, dupa. Don't look at it.
Chita, dupa. So, dupa, my Canada, dupa.
Don't do ale, our. What's to dupa? What we wish. A wish.
This is
able to. Able to fulfill the wish. The wish that can be fulfilled. Able to fulfill a wish. That's it. Because the wish can be fulfilled. It's a wish that can be fulfilled. So if one has a positive mind, a positive intention, So
we want something, we can ask them, we have to ask them.
Right.
They can do it.
So, I don't want to mistranslate anything. So, one or two words I'm not clear. If we need to have a very positive intention. So if we help somebody now in the future, then they will help us. So if we get angry. Oh, so if we then have some anger, then in the future there won't be any sort of positive reciprocation. Nothing positive will come back to us. Getting angry and fighting, and then difficulties arise. That is not something that we would say is meaningful. Those negativities are not something that are meaningful. And if the specific questions on this, I can, for next week, if anyone wants the specifics, I can translate this without any, you know, problem with the dictionary.
It's in kindness to others. If you could just give some examples of how we repay kindness to others, all sentient beings, what are some of his examples are?
Jin Zoa, Xin Zi, Shou. Jin Zoa, Ma Shi, Jin Dan, Jin Zo, Jin Zo, Sin Zi, Sho.
Jin Zo, Ganesha, what is
that? The Ganesha, Sin Zi, Sin Zi, example, Sho.
Example. Sin Zi, Ganesha,
So when we were younger, our parents, our father, our mother were very beneficial to us. And when they get old, their life becomes very difficult. So if we can in some way help them when they're older, then this is a way that we can repay kindness that they have shown.
Heard that.
Yes. I'm so sorry, I can barely hear you.
Before I ask my question, I just want to make sure I have it correct that bodhicitta eradicates all misdeeds. Is able to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tenzin Rinpoche stated that meditation on emptiness or emptiness also purifies or eradicates negativity. So I'm wondering what the relationship between
bodhicitta and emptiness, right? Yeah, I'm a cancer patient. One doctor said, "Don't need to be shared up. People, 탐시 다 도. Then, 도공 채널 송구래. The 샘체 people 탐시 다 도. Then, 샘체 Down, doni dopi share jawa gare. So there's a great connection between bodhicitta and the wisdom realizing emptiness. So in order for us to truly understand the mind that aspires to enlightenment well, then it's necessary to meditate upon emptiness. So if we understand emptiness well, then we will be able to understand the mind that aspires to enlightenment. So it's necessary to have two collections. In order for one to achieve the state of complete Buddhahood, it's necessary to have two specific accumulations. Those two accumulations are the collection of merit and the collection of exalted wisdom. So in order to do work very well, it's necessary to have two hands. Likewise, in order to achieve the state of enlightenment, it's necessary to have two collections, these two collections. And Geshe-la said there are many examples, like you need two hands to work. So the two collections cause the following. The state of enlightenment, or a state of Buddhahood, has the omniscient mind, which is caused by the collection of exalted wisdom, and then the body and all of the major and minor marks, and that is caused by the collection of merit. So the omniscience is caused by the collection of exalted wisdom, and the body of a Buddha with all the major and minor marks are caused by the collection of merit. This is a very good question. Does this answer your question?
Yeah, I think so.
Jishin, don't dump it, yes.
So when it said that wisdom realizing is eradicates the aspirations through omniscience, is that is bodhicitta not able to do that?
Shijipaksha, the point is, just quickly, Koin Sampo, the Doni Dobi Shira Shijipaksha Pantu Tudu Yine Senche Shijipaksha Pantu Dwe. So the hearers and the solitary realizers have the wisdom realizing emptiness, but they are not able to actually get rid of the obstructions to omniscience. So the wisdom realizing emptiness alone will not abandon the obstructions to omniscience. It's necessary to have the mind that aspires to enlightenment coupled with the wisdom realizing emptiness in order to get rid of those obstructions to omniscience. Because the hearers and the solitary realizers can't get rid of those because of the missing part, which is the mind that aspires to enlightenment. So just going to your question, the wisdom realizing emptiness alone doesn't get rid of the obstructions to omniscience. The afflictive obstructions, it does. So just there might have been some confusion in terminology. Yes, the afflictive obstructions, but not the obstructions to omniscience. Yeah? Okay. Any other questions? Yes?
It's aspirational
Lusen dan jusen, don dan pi senche dan gunzo pi senche chipribe.
Chiba mori.
Okay. Okay. So those are very different. This evening I didn't have, there are many different topics within the mind that aspires to enlightenment to explain. And I really didn't go over many of those topics this evening. So we'll first start with aspirational bodhicitta and engaged bodhicitta. Aspirational bodhicitta is similar to the desire to go to New York City. One wants to go to New York City or wishes to go to New York City. That's similar to aspirational bodhicitta. The engaged bodhicitta is compared to using one's legs to begin heading in the direction of New York City. This is the difference between those two. So when we look at the two, conventional bodhicitta and ultimate bodhicitta necessarily must have the wisdom realizing emptiness. So the word needs is used. It's in the debate. So it needs to have that.
I
just want to make sure it's the same. So if we want to say the definition of conventional mind that aspires to enlightenment, we would define it as a consciousness which is the entrance to the great vehicle, arisen in association with a wish which is its own aid, that aims at the perfect enlightenment for the sake of others. So this is the definition of conventional bodhicitta. So again, a consciousness which is the entrance to the great vehicle, arisen in association with a wish which is its own aid, that aims at the perfect enlightenment for the sake of others. And that's in the Panchen Sonandrapa's general meaning of perfection, commentary on the Abhisamma Alankara. Dene? This shit in Lan Tamche Latu.
Oh,
Dene? So was that this the Gunsu Dun 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 Tamche Lan Chiru Tamche
Lan?
Is that
a conventional relative or synonym?
Yes. I think so. Depends on the that's translators. I think conventional and relative they use synonymously, yes. Does that answer everything?
Ultimate is
the Dondambi Senche Seni Yure The definition of ultimate mind generation is a principal consciousness of the continuum of a great vehicle superior, which falls into the category of a great vehicle wisdom, in which the dualistic appearance with regard to the mode of subsistence of complete enlightenment has disappeared. So this is the sort of translation that would have to take place for Jelsup's commentary. So you can see Jelsup's commentary is just as complex and wordy as some of this stuff. So again, a principal consciousness of the continuum of a great vehicle superior. Here superior is the word Arya, which falls into the category of a great vehicle wisdom, in which the dualistic appearance with regard to the mode of subsistence of complete enlightenment has disappeared.
Mode of subsistence?
Mode of being. The way of being, the mode of subsistence is the lack of true establishment of an object is its mode of subsistence. So I think that we'll end there, and we'll do the concluding prayers. Thank you all for coming. So whenever we engage in a virtuous activity such as meditation or teaching like this evening, it's important for us to dedicate that virtue. So the virtue doesn't go away until we reach complete enlightenment. So we should dedicate it to that goal. Thank you very much.